class to debunk the sinner's prayer. Well, how do we get to God to begin with? Some might say, there's nothing you can do. Now, I want to tell you something about a little bit of background theology. And not every time do you hear it, or not many times do you hear it. But it is a doctrine that's filtered through many lessons. And since it's just us here today, I'm going to go ahead and be forthright. You'll hear it filtered through conservative Presbyterians and missionary Baptists. It's called Calvinism. Now, they may not get up and say, well, this is Calvinism, and this is how we believe. And they go through five different points. But in essence, they believe in this. And there's five different points, and they believe in parts of it to the extreme, and sometimes not so extreme. And so before I say, no, we can't pray to God and be saved that way, in other words, that's to the alien sinner. But they're going to start off and say, there's nothing you can do, the pure Calvinist. So as we deal with all different calibers of people in life, you're going to run into people and say, well, all you got to do is just be of a repentant, broken heart, pray to God, and you'll be all right. And another will say, no, there's nothing you can do. Just go ahead and walk about your business, and there's nothing you can do, and you're going to be illuminated, and you can't lose it. So I wanted to talk about that for just a second. That'll prepare you in dealing with folks. So, if you want to write this down, maybe you do, maybe you don't. And if you'd rather just listen and then go home after a day or two and Google it on the internet at your leisure, you might find there's some pretty good articles out there. It's the acronym TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. And that's how they print it out. This is how the Calvinists say salvation works. Okay, with the T, they'll say total hereditary depravity. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and they made that first sin, they became separated from God. God left the garden and went back to heaven. The soul was damaged, and a spot came on. Sidebar, that's why Romanists, they call themselves Catholic, meaning universal. Well, they're not the universal church. That's why we don't use that word. But we are, because they use it. You and I, brothers and sisters, are the universal or Catholic church. They are Romanist. At any rate, they will say that babies are born with God on their soul, and that's why they sprinkle them for baptism. Well, the Calvinist is going to say, there's nothing you can do because you're so depraved. There is no, at its extreme, they'll say, you're so depraved and you're so out there that you're just going to have to let God completely do it. Don't worry about it. That's why a lot of those don't evangelize. That's why we are called evangelical. And the U of the TULIP, they'll say this grace is unconditional because your soul is so deep in sin. We are such dirty mud holes that there is absolutely nothing that we can do. And so, who's going to be saved? Well, they say the L part of the TULIP is limited atonement to the elect. Well, we agree to that. Well, who is the elect? The church. Well, did God know before the foundation of the world that Fred would be saved and Donald would be lost, or vice versa? Some people say, yeah, he did know. And if you'll allow me to interject an opinion, let me ask you this. Can God self-impose a limit? Let's use the idea of one of us standing in the sunshine. Okay, the sun is in my eyes. Can I put my hand in front of my eyes to limit the sun? Yeah. If God can't self-impose a limit, therefore, he is limited. So, I say, in my mind, they didn't choose to know who was going to do what. And so, that's why I talk about the limited atonement to the elect. He allows us to choose. He's watching and waiting to see. You look at the idea of creating of the world, and then I think it's Genesis chapter 6, and God saw that all the thoughts of man's hearts were evil, and he repented. Okay, in the garden, man was created, and everything was very good. Well, if he's always, if he chooses, I didn't say he couldn't be, if he chooses to always be at all places at all times, everything, when it was made, it was good, and he was also already sorry that he had made man. That doesn't make any sense at all. So you get to a point, you're at a wall, and you just have to stop. Well, stopping with the limited atonement is the church, and God is allowing us to choose to follow him. That's all, that's what we're all about, is choices. We're not computer programs. We're not puppets on the end of a string. And we're not programmed to go off at a certain time and say, yay, Lord, I love you, and then go back down. That's why we have the Bible. Instead of the Holy Spirit, a little bitty port, going into our minds, putting the entire Bible, and telling us when to do it. We pick up the Bible through the human condition. The devil had it made, and he chose to fall. He chose to fall through pride. Well, you and I are human beings. We suffer, bleed, and die, and we miss our loved ones when they're gone. But yet we choose to serve God anyway. So, the point is, it's by choice. They'll say, and the L part of the tulip, they'll say, grace is irresistible. You'll be illuminated. The Holy Spirit will come over you, and it come into your heart without you inviting it, and you will be saved. And then you get to ask and debate questions. You'll say to the very extreme Calvinist, you mean to tell me that Fred gets in his truck and runs over a whole string of little ducks and goes to the candy store and gets all the jelly beans he wants without paying for it, and he goes through life completely like that without repenting, hearing, believe, confessing, and being baptized for remission of his sins, and the Holy Spirit was going to illuminate him because he was chosen for the foundation of the world and he was elected. And Mike, on the other hand, has done all the good deeds in the world, and God said he ain't going to make it before the foundation of the world. That's what they're saying. That doesn't make any sense at all, but that's what they say. The grace is irresistible, and it doesn't matter what you have done. There is nothing that you can do, and God is going to elect you because he is God and because he wants to. Perseverance of the saints, the P part. Since you're elected, and grace is irresistible, and you're saved by God, the Holy Spirit, once saved, always saved. You can do what you want to do. You can run over Ronnie with a steamroller and not say, I'm sorry. And that's just the end of it. Because you're saved. Danny can run over him with his truck if he wanted to. And that'd just be the end of it. That's what they say. You can't fall from grace. It doesn't matter what you can do. So that is one side of the fence. What can we do to be saved? Well, there's nothing. You can't really resist. You can't resist grace, and you're going to be illuminated because God wanted to. And if you're not illuminated, doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to be saved. Now that was a sidebar. Now let's get to the main point. Can we be saved? The alien sinner. Now we're not talking about Christian praying. We'll get into that. But can an alien sinner pray their way into heaven? Well, let's approach it this way. Good intentions, good feelings. Reckon John Smith said, I would to God for my old mother's sake that Calvinism was true. In other words, he didn't hold out against it and preach against it in the Pioneer Church in the 1800s just because he was being angry and stubborn. If we're approaching the Bible out of anger and just argumentative and being stubborn, we're not going to convert anybody. We've got to be humble about it. We tell what God says. Somebody say, you don't have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Well, Jesus said. That settles it. He that believes in his baptized shall be. Oh, no. Well, I've had people tell me that. Well, then when you get to that point in a conversation with somebody, you're casting your pearls for swine. Look at Romans 3 and 20. They'll say, we've received Christ by personal invitation. And the only way I would know to personally invite him, the way they think, would be by prayer. I don't think we can send a letter to Washington and them get it to him. So it has to be with prayer. They say, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him, and he with me. You know, that'd be fine on a hospital bed, somebody dying. It would be a certain matter of convenience to say, no, brother, you're in your last stages here. Just go ahead and pray and let God in your heart, and it's all right. Don't worry, you're going to be in heaven in 15 minutes. Well, I would to God, as Raccoon Smith was about his mother, that that could be a possibility, but it ain't. In short, it didn't matter what God told us to do. Jump through a hula hoop, write sentences, be baptized for remission of our sins. Didn't matter what he told us to do. The point is we're submitting to him. We're saying, you are God. You are sovereign, supreme. And I am knuckling, prostrate humility in the dirt, bowing to you. And what you say do goes. If you look at baptism in that sense, it makes perfect sense. Somebody said, don't make any sense. Well, you know, people didn't understand nutrition until the last century. They didn't know about vitamins and biochemistry and that type of stuff. But they knew if they ate, they'd live. We don't have to understand every little tenet about doctrine for us to obey it. And the bottom line is, whatever God said do, that's what we're to do because he said so. Well, he didn't say anything about the sinner's prayer. But they'll use verses like Matthew 11:28-30. They'll say, Jesus invites you because he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a true invitation if you apply it right, but it's not through prayer. Revelation 3:20 is an invitation, but it's to the wayward Christian. Look at the context. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love. Now that's not the sugar bunnies or warm fuzzy. Love in this case is agape. That is benevolence. That is sacrifice. That is love with wings. That is action, doing for someone. It's not an emotion. Everyone, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Zeal is one thing, but it's got to be according to the pattern. So we repent based on the truth. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door. That's just kind of, you know, the person that says, pray and let him in, they're going to say, well, he's knocking at the door of my heart, and I told him to come on in. Well, this is true. But it's not to the alien sinner. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Now here's the layup. He was rebuking somebody. And now look at 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Who gets the Spirit? The obedient. Acts 5:32, Acts 2:38. The Holy Spirit doesn't save anybody. Thus, Calvinism doesn't work at all. We only get the Holy Spirit when we obey the gospel. And he's talking to the churches. So Revelation 3:20, I've heard that used many times at an invitation. But you can use it for those who have gone astray. But it's not for the alien sinner, for somebody to be baptized by. This is talking to the church of Laodicea, the saved. And you remember he told them, he said, I would that you were cold or hot. He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. So he was talking to the saved. So, failure to know context. Remember, when we study, we got to do it in context. It perverts the gospel. We can't go through and make a text our favorite pony. Billy Graham will say, in one of his writings, he said, "Then receive him into your life by a simple act of faith. In prayer, you can tell God that you know you are a sinner and that you are sorry for your sins. Tell him that you want to turn from your old way of living and you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior." You know, if that was the way it was, so be it, but it's not. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" People often, you try to run down a the sinner's prayer, and it's not out there. You might find something comparable to, "Lord Jesus, I need you. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." Just simply not true. Just not true. In the Bible, the sinner's prayer is nowhere found, not the alien sinner. People that have gone astray, people that are tottering and need prayer, it's always someone who has been baptized for remission of their sins. Turn to the 8th chapter of Acts and begin with verse 13, and we will look at Simon the sorcerer. Acts 8, beginning with 13. "Then Simon himself believed also." Sidebar: belief is recognizing that God exists and doing what he's asked us to do. It's not just saying, "Oh Lord, I know you're there. I'm praying and I'm letting you into my heart." That's not it. "And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." You know, to someone that had practiced cunning words, his sorcery, you know, that had to be a sight to his eyes to see miracles. "Continuing, and when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. And when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Have you heard of the sin of simony? It's kind of like they say, if you want Grandpa out of purgatory, you're going to have to bring us so much money. And they're probably going to want to know how much you have so they can get 10% or more. That's just a guess. But the sin of simony is trying to buy favor of God with money. That is absolutely against the Bible. It is a free gift. Somebody says there's nothing you can do. We receive it by accepting it. That is something we do, but we didn't earn it by doing anything. "And when Simon," verse 18, "saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money." God is not out for our money. He wants us to give of a free heart, but it's not tied like it was in the Old Testament. It's totally free will. And we don't buy forgiveness with money. We don't buy being able to give the Holy Spirit with money. The Holy Spirit is totally dependent, contingent upon touching Jesus' blood in the watery grave of baptism. And once we do that, Acts 5:32, the obedient receive the Holy Spirit. And it is a gift, a present, as noted in Acts 2:38. But he said, "Give me also this gift, 19, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Sidebar. Martin Luther said, he had been a Catholic priest, and he said, why does the Pope, in all of his benevolent love for humankind, why does he not declare purgatory completely empty without asking for a single penny? He pointed to St. Peter's Cathedral and he said, behold a monument to the Reformation. Those type things was the very reason why they began to break off and to start with the corruptness of that organization. Look at 1 John 1 and 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his sin, cleanses us from all sin. Somebody said, no, all I have to do is just admit my sins. Well, the Christian. But that's not enough for the alien sinner. We've got to admit it, change it, and touch his blood so the blood can activate and wash our sins away. That's where the alien sinner comes in. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, it's faithful to just and just forgive us our sins. And notice that if, doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit's doing something. It sounds like it's choice. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Look at Saul. In my humble opinion, if there ever was close to a sinner's prayer, this was almost, underline almost it, but it is not if you look at it close. When you take Acts chapter 9 and Acts 22 and let them work in conjunction, Paul in 9 was slapped down on the Damascus Road. In 22, he was preaching and talking about it. And he put what is said in both places together. We see emphatically it is not a sinner's prayer. Acts 9 and 5, and he said, and when he had that Damascus Road moment, he was so stubborn and dogmatic and zealous that he was not going to give in. And the Lord slapped him down, so to speak. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And to the Calvinist would say, there ain't nothing you can do. And Billy Graham would say, pray about it. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. The Lord said, you got something to do. But go where I told you to go, and you will be told. Well, how did he handle that in the meantime? Well, we seen he prayed, and he was baptized. But when was he saved? Let's continue in 9. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and in a vision, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul. Somebody say, ha! Right there. He was a member of the church. No, that's just something the Jews did. His sins wasn't washed away yet. And we're going to prove it with the Bible, not a seminary PhD. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if that was separated and isolated, somebody say, he's got the Holy Ghost. And he told him that he's going to be healed. Surely he's saved, but no, he still ain't. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and received sight forthwith and forthwith and arose and was baptized. And say he was baptized after all that, and that was just a sign that he had become a member of the local congregation. Well, let's see what Paul had to say about it. Turn to chapter 22 of Acts, in verse 12, and this will settle the issue. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to Paul's preaching now, a devout man, according to the law, having good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, Brother Saul. And we're fixing to see where he was baptized, and his sins was washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. So, Brother Saul didn't mean that he was a member of the church at all. That was just apparently just a custom of the Jews. Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will. Now, the Lord had chosen him because of his dogged determination. They used Pharaoh for his own purposes because he knew Pharaoh's heart. And there was no hope for Pharaoh. So Paul, or God, knows how we are right now, and he knows if he can use us for different works in the church, but long before we may ever have the opportunity to do it, and he'll provide opportunities for us to do it anyway. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men, of what thou hast seen and heard. And he's being told this, and he is still a sinner. Let's wait and see what he had to say. And now, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Be baptized and wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, isn't calling just saying, Lord Jesus, come to me? Jesus said, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So, Revelations 3:20 it is not the sinner's prayer. And Paul, no, that was not a sinner's prayer. Okay, that was the negative approach, saying, no, it's not in there, and this is what they use, and this is why you can't use this. Now, this is the approach number two. Here is what we are to do to be saved. So this is the positive approach. This is always the easiest approach to go, the positive approach. What's in the Bible? What did God say? And that settles the issue. Is there anything that we can do? Well, Jesus was the one that died on the cross. And he had all authority. Let's see what he had to say. Remember, Jesus said, now remember, when you're looking at verses, who, what, when, where, how, and why. Divorce and remarriage, Jesus was minister of the circumcision. He was only restored to the law until he could die and put in the new. Now when we see baptismal verses, he wasn't talking to Jews. He was talking to the apostles saying, when I die, I'm going to send the comforter. And he's saying, after I'm gone, you're going to preach baptism for the remission of your sins. So, who, what, when, where, how, and why when we're studying. Jesus was asked in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, is there anything that we can do? And if anybody was going to say, nothing, you'll be illuminated. Right here was the chance. Jesus would have done it. John 6:28-29, then said they unto him, What shall we do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said, Jesus said, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Now that settled it right there. No prayer. No Calvinism. What does it mean to believe? Well, Peter was asked, what shall we do? Now remember, these have got to fly together. Acts 2:36-7 and 8. He was preaching to Jews, and he was telling them, what they had done. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He said, you put him on the cross and killed him. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And if Peter had been a Calvinist, he would have said nothing. But if he'd been Billy Graham, he'd said, pray the sinner's prayer. And he said, neither one. He said, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that is what believing is. How much time have I got left, Mike?
About 10 minutes.
Let's take just about 10 minutes and deal with the idea of what faith is. Turn to James 2 and begin with verse 14. Now, this is not from a seminary, this is from the mind of God, the Bible. James 2 and beginning with 14. I'm not kidding. Okay, faith and works. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Somebody said, well, Paul said we're not saved by works. Well, there's another place said no works. There's three different kinds. We don't have time to get into a full discussion of this. There's three different kinds of works. One, works that you and I come up with. The sinner's prayer. That was a human invention, not in the Bible. Two, works of the old law. That's what Paul was talking about, works of the old law. We're saved by neither. The third type of work is this right here, the New Testament. Law, love, faith, all combined in the New Covenant. Can faith, recognizing that God exists, can that by itself save you? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, I hope you find food and drink and clothes. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful of the flesh. What does it profit? When you believe in God and you say, I hope you get what you need, and don't help them, you've fallen short. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead. This is what the Bible says, not a seminary. Is dead, being alone. That begs the question, can a dead faith say? Well, we're going to read in just a second that the devil and the devils believe, just the basic belief, and tremble. They know God exists. So a belief, a mature belief, is a response to the Word of God. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Not works that I come up with, not works of the old law, but what Jesus has asked us to do in the New Testament. 2 Peter 5, 1, 5 through 10 would add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity. And those are the seven graces wherein that we will fall from grace if we make the wrong choice. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. It's saying great. But the devils also believe and tremble. They're saying, if you just recognize God exists and don't want to do what you're asked to do, you're no better off than Satan himself. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works of the New Testament, is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? He committed himself in his mind and was going to do it and stopped. He obeyed. That is faith in action. Since thou have
faith brought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Recognize that God exists and respond to his will. One last thought. We're in the positive now. We're not trying to disprove something. We're just simply saying what God said to do. Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not prayer, not the Holy Spirit. And Danny's going to talk about what the gospel is in his discussion on baptism. And I thank you very kindly for your kind attention.